I'm actually just posing a question and looking maybe for... Me? Can I go? I don't have audio on my computer. Sorry. No. Is it? No, I'm gonna go sit. Does she?
Have someone else try. Yeah, it works fine.
All I really want to know from folks is, as it relates to this motion, I'm just trying to get a sense, and it goes to the RA's question and why I was thinking about recruitment into the fishery, is are folks seeing things on the water right now where we might have to be concerned that a minimum size of 18 is going to result in more discards? Or is what folks seeing on the water right now showing that an 18-inch size is going to keep the fishery going and not result in a lot of discards? That's really my only concern as it relates to haddock, which is what I was trying to ask. And now I have to go figure out if I have a bug or something on me because I don't know what's happening. So if folks can talk about that as they're supporting or not supporting the motion, that would be great.
Okay. We think we found the culprit, but she's denying it at this point, I think so. Okay, let's move this along. You heard Ms. Etrie's question for folks that go on the water, so let's continue the discussion on the motion on the board. Anybody from the council? Anyone from the audience? Mr. Orlando.
Yeah, Joe Orlando again, Gloucester Fisherman. So on this year class that we've been working on for the last two or three years, in 2020 when they first came in, 90% of them were all small. 16-inch, 17-inch fish. I mean, if you go to 18 inches, I hate to go against anybody, believe me, but sometimes things are gonna be said. I mean, the discards are gonna go through the roof with this new year class coming in. And recreational had a 15-inch bag limit last year. Then they went up to 20 inches. Now you wanna go back down to 15, but we had a 85% cut in Gulf of Maine Haddock. I just took an 85% cut. I hate to talk bad about anybody, believe me, but sometimes you have to because it doesn't seem fair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orlando. Anyone else in the audience? Anybody online? Back to the council. Mr. Pierdenock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to answer that question, from what I recall, it was partially answered during the wrap, but it also with observations of those on the water fishing Stellwagen or fishing farther north. It really depends on where you're fishing, whether you're near shore or offshore, and the size of such will depend on that. And there's just such a tremendous biomass of those fish that you'd quickly be able to catch your limit within an hour on a typical six pack. So how the model addresses that, it from what I understand right now, it's addressing it that all the fish are of the larger size. So there's more of a cross-section. It just depends on where you're fishing. In general, near shore, they're smaller, but there's larger fish there. But as you go farther offshore, they're larger.
Thank you. Anyone else from the council to the motion on the board? Seeing none, call the question. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Okay, I'll get to that. Anyone opposed? No. Any abstentions? Two abstentions, one from Mr. Pentney, one from Ms. Etrie. Motion passes by consent. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's all we had for the Gulf of Maine stocks. Now I'll pass it back over to Jamie when she's ready, and she can bring us through her slides on Georges Bank.
Thank you. So the remaining slides are focused on Georges Bank Cod, and as you know, that had a stock assessment in 2021 indicating a decline in the stock. And since then, the council has been working through setting quotas and catch targets for the recreational fishery. The measures currently in place, we went over those earlier, but they were designed to stay within a 75 metric ton catch target for this fishing year, presently in a fishing year 2022. And as you know, they were supposed to start on May 1st, and they were not effective until July 15th. So the closure that would have been in May and June and July was only 2 weeks this past year. There is now, these are in effect still, the slot limit, the possession limit, and the season. So unless the council were to recommend change, they would stay in place. The regional administrator does have the authority for the next 2 years temporarily to make adjustments to stay within the catch target as proposed by the council. This is not the first time that we've discussed recreational management changes for this stock. There's been quite a history here of adjusting measures to stay within a catch target that we've been using for some time, and how that's been set has been adjusted by the council in response to recent stock assessments. When we last spoke about this, we let you know that we thought the catch target was exceeded for this fishing year. And at the time when we had two waves of information, we estimated 83 of 75 metric tons had been caught, so already exceeding that. We have an update to that today. And this is from Scott, and thank you, Scott, for updating this information. This is a projection. Obviously, the fishing year is not over yet, but the 75 metric ton catch target is likely to be well exceeded at 218 for the full fishing year. Just a little refresher, and again, turning to your favorite plot. Where does the catch target fit into the entire specifications process? The proposal from the council back in December was an OFL being unknown and an ABC of 904 metric tons. That was in response to information reviewed by the SSC. Also, there was a US-Canada process that was agreed that the Canadian fishery would have 385 metric tons. So when we take the 904, the deduct the 385, this results in 519 metric tons available for the U.S. fishery. Of that, there is a catch target of 113 that you recommended in December. That is within the state waters and other fisheries. There's a little bit more set aside for those as well. So the 113 is incorporated in those two pots. And then what is available for the commercial fishery is 375 metric tons, roughly. And this allocation would be for the next year. When the recreational advisors met last week, they discussed a lot of information about summary data over the last three fishing years that looked at information on proportion of catch by month, by size, and so on. And they recommended adjusting the Georges Bank Cod measures. Now, having an open season that would be the month of May and then run September through April, but be closed in June through August. So how this is different is instead of being closed right now, like it is May through July, it would be closed June through August. Instead of having a slot limit, remember that was a 22 to 28 inch fish, they are proposing to do away with that and have a minimum fish size of 23 inches. So go up 1 inch and not have a slot limit anymore, but maintain the possession limit of 5 fish per day. When they were looking at ways to develop these measures, they were looking at that 218 catch estimate and roughly trying to figure out how to get down to 113, the cod catch target. So that was how they were looking at the data, which is about a little less than a 50% reduction that you need from current catches. The committee felt that it would want to forward this for consideration today. It didn't make this recommendation, but it forwarded it to you, and then also had another one. The difference is the slot limit. So the committee was also interested in having a slot limit, again, going up an inch now, 23 to 28, but the open season the same as what the RAP was recommending and the possession limit of 5 fish. All right. There was a lot of questions of the committee about measures in state waters and measures in federal waters. And so I wanted to bring forward some additional information since the committee meeting on state waters information. So this table you did see at your last meeting, table 6, but some of the annotated values you didn't see. What it does is it summarizes the proportion of cod catch by landings and mortality. But it's based on the state where the cod was landed, not necessarily where it was caught. And the committee spent a lot of time talking about two states in particular that have different measures in place in their state waters fisheries than the federal measures, and they're more liberal. And this includes New York and New Jersey. So of the fish that are landed in by proportion mortality, when they indicate state landing of New York, that's the highest one of all mortality, followed by Massachusetts, and then New Jersey and Rhode Island when you look at the last 3 years based on the MRIP data. When we dig a little deeper into just the landings proportion, we look at the three-year average, you know, what percent of the landings are in New York and New Jersey occurring in state waters versus federal waters. In New York, what we see in the AMRIP data is about 22% is in state and 78% is in federal. And then in New Jersey, it really depends on the year. The last 3 years, it was about 59-41. But in some years, you see 2% state and 98% federal. So it really depends, and it flips around quite a bit. The other thing the committee was interested in knowing is if we close these months, what proportion of mortality could we save? And so here we have added up the values for you for June through August. And if mortality, if the Georgia's Bank cod was not, you couldn't land them in June through August, it's about 49% mortality savings. And that is assuming that everyone has the same measures in all locations, federal and state waters. So that would get you to your catch target, that alone. The other question was, what about the change in the slot limit or the minimum fish size? And so we can look at figure 2 that Scott presented. And we can use that information on the bottom to help figure out how much additional savings we can get. A slot limit actually would reduce the mortality more than, and that makes sense because you would be putting back some of the larger fish than having a minimum fish size on its own. And the difference in that reduction is 5%, so 18 versus 13. So we don't have a calculation that shows how much more this would add, but you can expect to have some increased savings over the 49% of closing those months, plus having additional reduction from having a change in the minimum fish size. So lastly, and you know, this is the way we do this on, for this stock is because we don't have a model, so we're gonna look at the past data to try and inform that discussion. The last thing to mention here is, of course, we do have this uncertainty of stock structure. You know, as we move forward over the next couple of years, the council, you know, is fully aware that there could be a whole new model in this area of Southern New England and Mid-Atlantic and have measures in place for that area that are more ascribed to where the recreational fishery is active now. So just kind of looking ahead and knowing that the next 2 years are going to be a bridge to whatever comes out of that stock assessment process. We'll hear more about that this afternoon. And lastly, your goal, you've accomplished part of it already, but now to recommend measures for Georges Bank Cod. Again, the committee wanted to think about this some more, bring some ideas to the table today, didn't have a specific recommendation. Scott is also available to answer your questions if you have additional questions about what's been enumerated. I'll add a couple of points. Since the committee meeting last week, we have heard from New York and New Jersey. I did report out to the committee that Chairman Belavance and I were invited to a meeting of the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, and that was earlier this month. We presented, they wanted to know why the council was changing its measures on cod and then what it might propose if there were new changes. We didn't know what the council might propose. But we did talk through the stock assessment, the challenges with cod, and why the rec measures were changed. I think the council was very receptive to that, and they had a lot of good questions. They decided to defer any changes into the next meeting, which may be in March or sometime after that. They meet every 2 months. Their recommendations are forwarded to their commissioner, and then that's their process. For changes. So right now they don't have any recommendations for changes, but they are fully aware that you're talking about this today, and they're interested in seeing what comes out of this process. New York, from what I understand, was in the midst of making some changes, and they have a longer process for making changes. They have a required 60-day comment period. They're definitely paying attention to any recommendations that come out of the council today. I think from understanding their perspective, they like to make changes once, and if there is a change coming from the council different than the measures that are in place, that will be something they'll certainly take into consideration. I am aware that they're listening today, and they may be able to answer questions if you have them about what's going on in New York and New Jersey, but I don't think that that's absolutely necessary today for your proposal, and we can certainly forward any of your recommendations and let them know what happened at the meeting. With that, I would turn it back to Mr. Belavance if he had anything to add based on our discussions so far, or anything I may have missed on Georges Cod.
Thanks. Thanks, Jamie. No, I think you covered it all from my perspective. Along with any other questions, but I don't have anything to add though.
Okay, perfect. Let's go out to the council for questions on Dr. Cornyn's presentation, and then we'll come back and I'll be looking for a motion at that time. Ms. Eitri.
Thanks. Sorry, Jamie, in advance if you said this and I just missed it. The calculations as it relates to mortality savings, is that based off of the projected 135 where we're already at, the projection 218, like I'm just mortality savings, from what number are we working off of?
I believe it's on average for the past 3 years. Yeah.
Anyone else from the council have a question at this point? Ms. Griffin.
I guess this is a question, well, I know it's a question more for Garfo, just about the timing and rulemaking. We heard from staff, I think at the committee meeting, that hopeful we won't see delays like last year. But I'm just wondering how you view what we've just heard about, you know, potential rulemaking by New Jersey and New York, and how that might affect any final announcement of rules. You know, would you need to have state rules in hand to not, I think most of the recommendations we will potentially provide assume all the states are going to go forward with the same rules. So I'm just curious how that might either further delay federal rulemaking or necessitate you to go maybe above and beyond a council recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and I don't have a good answer for you right now. I think that's something we're going to have to look at. I would not want to intentionally delay any rulemaking on our side, because we've seen the implications of you know, extended rulemaking on our side having some unanticipated and negative effects. So I'm going to be pushing to get the rule out as soon as we can, but we're going to have to work with our state partners and see if we can try to be, you know, coordinated as much as possible. I don't want either scenario. I don't want either one to be trying to make up the difference for what New York and New Jersey may not be doing, nor do I want to be in a situation of delaying our action to wait for them.
Ms. Griffin. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Jamie, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. So New Jersey said they were waiting another 2 months or so before they initiate, probably kind of basing off what we decide today. But New York, I wasn't very clear, is New York in the process or are they also waiting to see where we come out today? Because it sounds like they only want to do it once. So I'm just curious what New York's, where they are at this point.
Tell you what I've heard, and I'm not New York or New Jersey, so but I can say that when we attended the meeting on January 5th, what I heard from the council, their council, the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, is their recommendation on the time at the time was they were aware that this council was convening this month to potentially recommend a change in measures. And they wanted to hear what that was before they then made a recommendation to their commissioner. Their body meets every 2 months. However, there was some indication that, I wasn't following this very well, but depending on when ASMFC is working on some other stock, they may not meet in March anyway. So there, it depends on when they meet again, and when they convene again could be sometime in the spring. With respect to New York, I think they were already considering a change to be consistent with the measures we have right now. But again, they have a process, and their process is unique to their state. And from what I understand from their the folks there, they would prefer to go through that process one time and not two times.
So follow up, it sounds like they're in the midst of something, but...
Dan, hold on. I tell you what, I'm going to go to Mr. Bellavance, and John Maniscalco from New York, he's got his hand up, so maybe that'll help you before you continue.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Mr. Bellavance and then Mr. Maniscalco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add a little context as well from communication with New York, I feel like they're in a little bit of a bind and that they might be looking for the service to... approve whatever measures are going to be approved so that then they can react to that. That's the sense I got, but since Mr. Maniscalco's hand is up, maybe he could add to that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Maniscalco.
Thanks, Eric. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So, yes, New York State did have a, what we call a proposed rule that was making the rounds for sign-off until I was alerted to the fact that there was consideration for changing the regulations. So there's no mandate for New York to adopt these rules, but we are interested in being, you know, good partners in management. But we would wait for NOAA to publish a final rule that we would then, base our proposed rule upon. So like you said, we're in a little bit of a bind, but I've already pulled back my rulemaking that was adopting the slot limit because I didn't want it to go any further if another change was upcoming. Thanks.
Dan.
Thank you. That's actually very helpful, and I appreciate, I'm sorry I missed your name, but I do appreciate New York taking the opportunity to actually trying to be proactive in meeting what we're trying to accomplish today and not what we accomplished already. But thank you again. I'm all set.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Maniscalco. I appreciate it. Mr. Pierdenock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one additional question. We're dealing with New York and New Jersey. We do have the states farther south. I understand they've been sent letters to get on board, and they are much smaller contributors, if at all, none. But I'd hate to see an EBTR show up with one fish landed or whatever, several landed, that then's going to skew all the results. So are the rest of those states on board, and have they bought into this, or are they still in the same status as New York and New Jersey?
I don't know. Do you, Jamie?
I have not traveled further south in those two states so far with our request. And we, you know, the council did send two letters, one letter informing the states that this change could occur. And then after it was approved by the regional administrator, sent another letter letting all the states know about our measures. So I have not followed up with the additional Mid-Atlantic states to see if they've adjusted as well. I think they're very small percentage, as you indicated. And so the focus has been primarily on New York and New Jersey to date.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, thank you. I agree they're very small, but when we get into the MRIP realm of things, there's interpretations of what those fish would then represent with how much is caught. So as long as it doesn't bite us in the end, and if it does occur and can be looked at and adjusted accordingly, then, you know, whether they do get on board or don't, but it seemed much easier if they would be on board. Thank you.
Mr. Alexander.
Pete can back me up if I'm wrong, but I think in Connecticut, although Connecticut's a very small state with regard to cod landings, that the way the rules are written is that they automatically reflect whatever the prevailing federal rules are. So.
Okay, thank you for that. Any further questions from the council? Anybody in the audience? Anybody online? Okay, back to the council. At this point, I'd be looking for a motion. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm gonna take the lead from the Recreational Advisory Panel and move forward their recommendation. I think Jones got it up there. I move that the council recommends to GARFO for recreational measures for 2023 Georges Bank cod open season May 1 through 31, September 1 through April 30, closed season June 1st through August 31st. A minimum fish size of 23 inches and a possession limit of 5 fish per day. And I would need a second.
Okay, thank you. Anyone willing to second this motion? Mr. Salerno, are you seconding the motion? Mr. Bellavance, any rationale?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So, well, for starters, it was the Recreational Advisory Panel had a long discussion and went back and forth on a bunch of different alternatives. And this is what they fell on. I don't think it's the greatest news in the world to the recreational fishermen down in southern New England, but it's, I feel, something that's important to do. The cuts are pretty dramatic. The stock's in tough shape. And this is a giant step forward to reduce mortality for the southern New England stock of cod. It trades off the closure in May for a closure in August, and that's painful for everybody, but the difference in mortality is significant, where May was only 5% of the mortality, and in August accounted for 18%. So that was a big jump. And then there was additional savings achieved by removing the slot limit and increasing the minimum size limit and putting that in. Just anecdotally from time on the water, the slot limit wasn't well received. I feel that compliance is probably a little bit of an issue, and I don't know that even the projected savings of the slot were realized, and I think this is a better approach. It's unfortunate we have to go down this road, but this is where we find ourselves, and I think it's proactive to try to reduce the mortality in the Georges Bay stock for the wreck fishery.
Okay, thank you. Any additional rationale, Mr. Salerno?
I think Mr. Villavance hit most of the high points there. I just want to include that the additional of keeping 5 fish per day does help the recreational community to have people come onto their boat for some fishing out of it, and also helpful to know that New York and New Jersey will eventually be coming online. So I'm convinced that these measures and the 2 states coming in line with something similar will be sufficient to get where we need to be. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. To the motion on the board, any council discussion to the motion on the board? Mr. Pierdenock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to expand on what's already been said, because the public has reached out to me and others around this table, the August closure is going to have a significant impact on many. I understand why it needs to be done. That's when the vast majority of the catch or landings are. Is during that period of time, and there's no way around it other than to do that, from what I understand. But there is going to be a lot of pain to that. The difficulty that we run into is that the observations on the water of the recreational for-hire community, where you go into Massachusetts state waters, the Stellwagen, the east of the Cape, all the way down to Nantucket Shoals, what is observed there is completely different than the outcome of the studies and where the stock stands. But it's understood that the biomass everywhere is not consistent with what's observed there. But there are positive signs. There's no lack of cod. There's no lack of haddock in those areas. And we've seen the increase as a result of the conservation measures. I point that out because that's the frustration of many, to continue to see these measures, see the outcomes and the disconnect with what's being observed. So I once again throw out there, because they approach me and they approach others, that we're looking for cooperative research. We're looking for mechanisms so that our observations can make it into the stock assessments. I'm also concerned that it was recently noted, I think it was yesterday as well as at the last meeting, of where the trawl surveys were not conducted by the Bigelow or the Albatross. And when I look at where those are in relation to the areas I just noted, it's an additional data gap that it was not conducted in those areas, where we see a significant number of cod or haddock within those areas that aren't going to be captured. So are we going to be having a discussion that the condition is even worse than what we think it is because of that data gap? That's where I look to the additional lines of evidence from the rec for hire, as well as the commercial community, of what they observe in the water, what they catch, what they release, in an attempt to use that in our stock assessments. I felt it was necessary because of the many that reached out to me that I mentioned that. I ultimately will approve this measure, but want to note the pain that many are going to suffer in August with the closure. Thank you.
Next, I have Ms. Etri, then Mr. Tracy.
Thank you. I'm still trying to wrap my head, not around this motion, but around whether or not I have confidence in the assumption of consistency across all the various states, specifically New York and New Jersey. I feel like we might be on that right track. I may not be having as high of a confidence as others. So with that, I'm struggling with the motion, not because I don't think that the motion is actually really being mindful of the decisions made in the framework and what we have specific to the stock, but just trying to think that through. I was thinking an if-then type motion may make sense if we didn't have confidence in New York and New Jersey coming into consistent regulations, but it sounds like maybe that complicates the RA decision-making process on this, so I'm not going to go that way. But I'm just wondering, as a hypothetical in the discussion for this, if this was to be voted up, or for some reason it was determined that more needed to happen or adjustments needed to happen, is it worth maybe talking about whether increasing the minimum size, because I'm just looking at that, if it was changed to 24, you could have an estimated reduction of 42%. Like, if it's helpful to maybe indicate additional items in case we have a consistency concern that percolates up a little bit, or if folks are comfortable. I mean, I get the intent of it. I just am struggling not so much because I think this goes someplace. I'm still worried about what happens if we don't have consistent measures in place for New York and New Jersey. So that's just trying to think that through. So I'm kind of rambling now, so I'm done.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody that these are recommendations to GARFO. It's our advice to them. So, Mr. Tracy.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I'm not going to speak to the substance of the motion itself, but I do want to make the point, you know, trying to connect some of these different agenda items. This seems like another area, so I just want to say it, where things like CPUE really are relevant to the stock assessment process. Here we are talking about how many fish they're going to catch. We're going down. There's a lot of pushback. There's clearly a lot of anxiety for valid reason from the community, and they're seeing something different. And that data that this is going to produce, how quickly, how easily they catch these limits, seems like it's relevant to our process. So I just want to make the point. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Anybody, you want to address that, Doctor?
There was a point made at the recreational advisory panel meeting and as well as the committee meeting by Chairman Blount that the last time the minimum fish size was increased to 23, the catch plummeted, and we can actually see that in the data. I think it would have to go back and look at it, but it did actually lead to, just on its own, a reduction in catch. And so if something like that happens again, we will expect even that change in minimum fish size to lead to a reduction in mortality. And I think certainly closing some of the three more high catch months will lead to that as well.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the council to the motion on the board? Anyone from the public? Ms. O'Dell, to the motion on the board, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. I'm supportive and appreciative of this motion and the hard discussions that went into it with the recreational advisors and the council members that are supporting it. I'm glad to hear that many folks believe that these measures are going to meet the new target and not exceed it, because I just want to remind everyone that if it is exceeded, that's something that is the impact to the commercial fishing industry, because we have yet to allocate this stock. So that's very, very important to remember. Lastly, just quickly want to note that this is a Plan B assessment, Plan B smooth, and just like Plan I smooth that we've spent a lot of time talking on with monkfish, this has a whole host of issues that hopefully will get resolved through the ongoing cod research track. But, you know, this catch, as Mr. Pierdenock said, that's occurring outside of the assessment area is not indicative of what this formula is coming up with for a total ABC. So hopefully this will be resolved sooner rather than later with this assessment. And in the meantime, I guess commercial and recreational fisheries are just going to have to continue to live with a very poor assessment. Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience? Anybody online? Back to the council. Any further discussion on the motion on the board? Dr. Hare.
Thank you. I'd just like to address something that Jackie said. The the assessment area is the stock area, and so Mr. Pierdenock's observations are in the assessment area, but the Northeast Fisheries Science Center trawl survey did not sample in those areas. So there's a slight nuanced difference there, but I did want to just indicate that the assessment is for the whole stock area.
Any further discussion? Okay, we'll call the question. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Mr. Pentney. Motion passes by consent, the one abstentions. Ms. Griffin?
I have no doubt that staff is going to continue to communicate with New York and New Jersey, but just I think it's always good for our record keeping, so if we can have formal correspondence to the MID about these rule, well, not changes, but recommendations for rule changes, and if you need a motion, happy to provide that, but.
No, I think we're fine. And you know, John Maniscalco and Jeff Bruss from New Jersey were on the call today as well, so. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think that concludes our recreational measures discussion.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to metrics, but first we're going to take a little break.
Oh, okay.
10 minutes? See you in 10 minutes.
Sorry, I didn't know.